Together one more time to Isaiah chapter 40 and complete our study of this chapter here this morning. Isaiah 40 in the Pew Bibles, page 829. We'll take up again at verse 12, reading through the portion we focused on together last evening as we ended our year together in God's presence. And then we'll read to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 40, verse 12. This is the word of God. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. And then the last verses, which will be our focus this morning. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thanks be to God for his faithful word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are. It is the year of our Lord 2024. 2024. Are you ready? Are you ready for the new year? Are you ready for what is set before you? Are you ready for the challenges? Are you ready to make progress? Are you ready to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to serve him with all of your might? We're here to be encouraged this morning in the promises of God, in all that he sets before us, particularly in the language of our text in 40 verse 31 this morning. We are going to soar like eagles. That's the promise of God. We have many reasons, I would submit to you, and you could speak for yourself, I'm sure, to be apprehensive, to be afraid, to be hesitant, to wonder, how will it go? How can I go forward? How can I make progress? How can I stand? How can I be faithful? But the promises of God are sure. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up on wings like eagles. The implication is the strength that we need to go forward is not our own. It's God-given. It is a gift of God's grace. And perhaps it's helpful for us to begin to think of the picture that God is making for us. It is a picture of mounting up on wings like eagles. Have you seen an eagle fly? Have you witnessed the glory, the beauty, the majesty of the way an eagle flies without effort, it seems, through the heavens? And have you actually taken note of the way in which eagles, with their broad wingspan, can almost, it would seem to us, defy the laws of gravity? Without even flapping their wings, they mount up. We mount up on wings like eagles. They're following the God-given eddies and currents in the air, the breath of God. God-given flight. You see, that would defy the law of gravity to actually be able to mount up. But you don't do that in your own strength, neither does the eagle. And that's the encouragement that our text sets before us in God's promises, in God-given grace. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. Well, we're going to look together at three things in light of that. And particularly in verse 27, we're going to see how the Lord in his mercy, his wisdom and his kindness confronts us in our excuse making. And then in the verses 28 and into 29, we overlap for the last point, we see how we are comforted by God's excellence, looking at who God is. And then finally, 29 to the end, and particularly with a focus on verse 31, how we are compelled with glorious expectation, wait, and hope. This is a call to faith, to rest in, to wait for, to hope upon the mercy of God. In the first place, God's people are confronted in their excuse making. Why do you say, verse 27, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Why do you say that? Why would Jacob speak that way? Who is Jacob, anyway? Jacob and Israel. Jacob was a schemer. Jacob was the deceiver. When we see the name Jacob in the Bible, certainly after the Lord's dealings with Jacob in the middle chapters of Genesis, we should always be put in mind of the wonders of God's grace. Jacob have I loved. Why did he love Jacob? Because he loved him. Because God is gracious. Not because Jacob was so good. Jacob was a sinner. Jacob gets a new name after having wrestled with God at Peniel. He becomes Israel. And Israel bespeaks the fact that God enters into covenant and makes faithful covenant promises to the undeserving. So when God is now addressing Jacob, Israel, we are to be encouraged that God is addressing his people, and by God's grace, through Jesus Christ, we may put our names there. I've called you by name. And he's challenging us to acknowledge and confess our excuse-making, the ways in which we find ourselves questioning, wondering, doubtful, afraid. Now, we touched on this a little bit last evening, and in context, I think we can understand why Jacob Israel would be afraid and hesitant. They know, as Isaiah 39 has assured them, difficult days are on the horizon. They are going to be carried away into captivity, and it's not going to be easy. And they know they deserve it. And so they wonder, is my way hidden from the Lord? You might say, you could say with the psalmist in Psalm 77, has the Lord forgotten to be kind? Has the Lord forgotten his mercies forever? Is my way hidden from the Lord? Doesn't God see me? Is there nothing he can do for me? This is what God is bringing to light in terms of the heart of his people, Jacob, Israel. And is my just claim passed over by my God? Do you have the sense that I deserve better from God, but God just seems to be uninterested? God seems to have just passed me by. God seems to be uninvolved, cold, and aloof. God is showing Jacob and Israel, that's silly. That's just wrong. But I wonder, as we begin a new year and as we look up against what a new year brings to us, its opportunities, the excitement of opportunity, bringing with it responsibility, which may seem overwhelming, challenges that we know we're going to have to face, issues that we have brought with us from last year into this year, struggles of our own heart. What is it that makes us say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? What do you say? What makes you hesitant? What makes you afraid? Maybe it is our own sin. Maybe it is sin we're carrying in our bosom and not repenting of. Maybe it's the sense that we are guilty. We're not living in the joy of our salvation. It seems God is at a great distance from me. Maybe it's the reality that in the past while, maybe even recently, you've experienced great sorrow, great loss, many challenges and opposition, and you have the sense, tomorrow will bring more of the same. There is our sin and there is the reality of suffering. What do you say? My way is hidden from the Lord. We could speak about our fears, things that make us afraid. We could speak about the reality that we forget. This is probably the one that hits closest to home. We forget His promises. We forget the beauty and glory of His character. We get turned in on ourselves. We have this view of God that He is at a distance from us and He is aloof and uncaring. What is it for you? What is it that holds you back in terms of embracing with joy and gladness whatever the Lord sets before you in 2024? We do well to ask ourselves that. Because God is lovingly, graciously, helpfully confronting us to enable us to see that so that He might show us something better. He's saying, I want you to take a look at your hearts and I want you to acknowledge your struggle. And then I want you to stop looking there. And I want you to look to Me. It brings us to our second point. We are to be comforted by God's excellence. Verse 28, have you not known? This is God speaking now. Our own self-talk, if we're not pointing ourselves to God, can drag us down. Our own self-talk can get us turned in and suck us into the vortex of self-pity and fear and despondency. But now God is talking. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Those words repeat. This is God repeating what we saw last night in verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? God is saying, you look at everything that has been made, Psalm 19, Romans 1, you know, don't you? You know that I'm God. And you've heard. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the good news. You've heard Me make faithful promises to you. But you need to be reminded. You need to get your eyes off of yourselves and on Me. Have you not known? Have you not heard? See, part of our problem, part of the hesitancy that we have in terms of jumping forward in the new year is our forgetfulness of God or having a wrong view of God. Maybe there are some of us who have the idea God is the great disciplinarian in the sky and He's going to give us a spanking. That's effectively how Jacob and Israel were seeing the reality they were up against. Now, the judge of all the earth will do what is right. And sometimes the Father in heaven chastens the Son whom He loves. But He does it in His grace and loving kindness. He knows what He's doing. And He's not just a disciplinarian in the sky. He's gracious, tender, compassionate. Indeed, if you were to say, I have a just claim, and God seems to have passed me by. I deserve better, and God seems to have closed His eyes to me. God seems to have said, I know you deserve better, but I'm not interested, and I'll just pass you by. Or if we have the sense that we have a just claim before God because I've been good, I've done my best, I've tried hard, that's not a just claim, is it? We know better, and we know what we deserve. But God is faithful to His promise. And there's a sense if we rely upon His promise, He's always faithful and just. We hear it regularly, I think, as an assurance of pardon. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe we have the view of God that He is a disciplinarian, a just God who will punish. But that justice is tempered by His mercy. In His wrath, He has remembered mercy. He is a God who delights in mercy. Don't have a wrong view of God. Maybe we have the sense that God is indeed distant and uninterested and aloof. Or maybe we have the sense that God is like the doting grandfather who overlooks, you know, issues and perhaps is getting too old or forgetful to be able to appreciate the realities that we're facing. And we see God as a permissive one who just allows us to do whatever we want, and his task is to give us candy and good things no matter what. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Do you not understand who God really is? We said it last night. We'll say it again this morning. What we need here, what God is telling us here, is that we need good theology. Theology is an understanding of God. We need to know God in all of His glory. And God is coming to us in His Word here. Have you not known? Have you not heard? You see the blessing of ending and beginning, ending last year and beginning a new year in the worship of God and under His Word? We get to keep hearing His Word. We get to keep hearing His promises. We get to keep hearing His reminders where we keep forgetting and getting turned in on ourselves so we may have our eyes lifted to Him. Listen to what He says about Himself. He is the everlasting God. We live but 70, or by reason of strength, 80 years here on this earth, but God is from everlasting to everlasting God. He's in all times and all places. His being eternal and everlasting has not merely to do with the reality of time, but also of space. He's everywhere and at all times, and He's in control. He's got this. He is the Lord. Our text presents it to us here in all capital letters. That means His covenant name is there. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is the I am who I am. He is the I will be who I will be. I will do what I will do. I am the all-sufficient one. I am the one who has all things within me. But His name, Yahweh, is His covenant name. That's the name we get to know. That is the name by which we live in the joy of fellowship with Him. That's the name that speaks to us of the blessing of fellowship. Have you not known? Have you not heard? You see, it's not simply about having heard some things from the Bible. God is reminding us here of the blessing of knowing Him. We get to know Him as our God. This is eternal life, Jesus says. To know God, John 17, verse 3, and Him whom He has sent. And these are things that you can know. This is our message to the world, our message to our guests who wonder, can I know this? Can I have confidence in this? You can know. You can know Him. These things have been written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Have you not known? By God's grace, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep what I've committed to Him against that day. I know. This is our strong confidence. in his mercy. He is the Lord, the faithful one whom we may know. He's the creator, we go on in verse 28, of the ends of the earth. Now that was elaborately laid out for us in God's word, God's words to us in the verses 12 through 26. He made all things by the word of his power with precision, with beauty, with excellence. He maintains all things. He directs all things. He governs all things. All things are in his hand. Lift your eyes up and see. The God who numbers the stars in the universe and calls them by name, and none is missing. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and he neither faints nor is weary. Are there any weary this morning? You stay up pretty late last night into the wee hours? Well, that's one thing, of course, but are there ways in which we find ourselves tired? Are you weary of it all sometimes? Weary of the challenge? Weary of your sin? Weary of the opposition? Weary of the difficulties in the midst of this life? Are there circumstances in your life where you say, I'm sick and tired? Yes, there are, aren't there? But he neither faints nor is weary. What an encouragement. He neither faints nor is weary. Now, just a few chapters further, we need to be challenged, as this is qualified for us a little bit, in 43 verse 24, where God continues to talk to his people. Isaiah 43 verse 24, you've brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. There is the reality that our sin wearies God. But when God says here, he neither faints nor grows weary, we may see that as a strong promise that we may have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have burdened him with our sins and wearied him with our iniquities. But our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, has borne the burden of our sin. Our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, was wearied to the bone as he made his way to the cross and endured the wrath of God in our place. That's why we may be encouraged again to know, even if we find ourselves frustrated and weary with our own struggle going forward, we're gonna sin tomorrow, today too. We may come into the presence of the gracious, faithful, covenant-keeping God who delights in mercy and who says to us, I'm not weary of you. I neither faint nor grow weary. By the grace of God, we may know his long-suffering and loving kindness to forgive us again. God does not say to us in the Lord Jesus, I've had it up to here with you. I'm sick and tired of you. He neither faints nor grows weary. And all of this is reminding us he has the strength. He has the wherewithal, he has the wisdom, he is omnipotent, he is omniscient to bring it all about and to make it well. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak. He gives and he gives and he gives. That's what he's like. He's a great giver of every good and perfect gift. He so loved the world of sinful humanity, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you have that you have not received? He gives and he gives and he gives some more. If he did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him, Romans 8, 31, 32, give us every good thing? He gives. God is showing us his glorious character. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. This is compelling, right? Our third point, we are compelled with glorious expectation. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And I think we're just being shown here by this picture. Think of who the strongest are among us. Strongest young men. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands here in the front row. I don't know. The strongest among us. You don't have strength in and of yourself. None of us do. Even they shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is in his grace and loving kindness. Our strength is found in waiting upon him. We're speaking here of hope and expectation. We're speaking of faith. Do you wait upon the Lord? Are you trusting in him? The ones who wait upon the Lord are not the ones who say, hey, I'm strong. I'm a young, strapping one. I'm one of the strong ones. So our waiting upon the Lord is not an expression of our strength and saying, look how confident I am. No, our confidence is in the Lord, in our weakness. God gives strength to the weary and to the weak. We are weak, but he is strong. Those who wait on the Lord, verse 31, shall renew their strength. There is a glorious transformation by the grace of God. We shall be renewed in strength. And indeed it says here, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's like mounting up in ways you never thought possible. On the God-given air currents, by the blessing of the breath, the wind of God, his Holy Spirit. How many times has it not happened in our lives where we have become completely dejected and despondent and discouraged, and by the grace of God, we're able to say, God, have mercy. Help me. I'm at my wit's end. I can't take it anymore. I can't do it. I'm failing in every way. We go to bed heavy, and somehow we wake up in the morning lighthearted and joyful. By the blessing of repentance and faith, God has enabled us to mount up with wings like eagles and to go forward in ways we never, ever thought possible. It's not entered into the heart of man to imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. It is the peace that passes understanding. To mount up on wings like eagles is not to suggest there are no difficulties to face. There will be no setbacks. That's not the point. But the point is you will be able to mount up in ways not humanly possible. On the God-given current of his grace and faithfulness by his Holy Spirit. And then the last words of our text, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Those words are helpful, I think, lest we should ever become confused by the picture that is given of the eagle flying. We can't physically fly, not in our own strength. We can buy airplane tickets and fly away. But we can run and we can walk. So the Lord gets us away from the picture and down to earth. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lest any of us should have the sense, I'm flying like an eagle and the view is spectacular and I'm looking down on all you down below. That's not the point. You come down to earth and you run in the midst of life's challenges, in the midst of the day-to-day, in the midst of the same old grind. And God says you run. And you keep running. And because of who He is, you can. You run with endurance the race that is set before you, Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised its shame. You run. And by God's grace, you can. And then he gets even more down to earth, you would say, and you walk. And you will not faint. There needn't be those fainting fits anymore. You will have strength from above to put one foot in front of the other, a step at a time, into the world that stands before us, into the challenges that come up against us, into the opportunities that we have to get up on a high mountain and say to all, behold your God. Too much for all of us, but you put one step in front of the other. You walk and not faint. Colossians 2 verse 6, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. We walk with Him, we walk like Him. We've received the Lord Jesus by grace through faith. Are you living in that confidence? Are you receiving Jesus? Are you waiting upon the Lord? Are you resting in Him? Is your hope and expectation in Him? That's the encouragement and challenge for us. Not to show ourselves strong, not to say, hey, look what I am, look what I've done, look how young and strong I am. No, I wait. I'm a weak one. I wait upon the Lord. I trust in Him. I take Him at His word. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Wait upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And His promise is sure and certain. You'll mount up on wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. One foot in front of the other. By God's grace, and for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your glorious, Your beautiful character. Thank You. You are everlasting. Thank You, O Lord, You are strong and mighty, omnipotent and omniscient, all-knowing, all wise, in control, loving and gracious. Thank You that You are the God who gives. You give power to the weak. You have given Your only begotten Son for us weak and unworthy sinners. And Lord, we praise You that we may also know in the face of our failings, feelings we know will continue in this life, You don't get tired of us. You neither faint nor grow weary. And so we wait upon You. We cast our cares upon You. We look to You. We pray that You'd help us not to get turned in on ourselves. We pray that You'd help us to look up. We pray that You'd grant that we may live in the joy of hope and expectation, as we know You enable us to live lives that are beyond what we ever thought possible. We thank You that You give us the peace that passes understanding. We thank You that You give us confidence to go forward. And so bless us as we go forward. Bless us to be a blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.